Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the General Electric First Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. My name is Ellen, and I will be your conference coordinator today. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. If you experience issues with the slides refreshing or there appears to be delays in the slide advancement, please hit F5 on your keyboard to refresh. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the program over to your host for today's conference, Matt Cribbins, Vice President of Investor Communications. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to GE's First Quarter 2017 Earnings Call. Presenting first today is our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt, followed by our CFO, Jeff Bornstein. Before we start, I would like to remind you that our earnings release, presentation, and supplemental have been available since earlier today on our website at www.ge.com/investor. Please note that some of the statements we are making today are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. As described in our SEC filings and on our website, those elements can change as the world changes. With that, I will turn it over to Jeff Immelt.
Thanks, Matt. GE had a good quarter in a slow growth and volatile environment. While the resource sector is challenging, we had the strongest oil and gas orders in 10 quarters. We see global growth accelerating while the U.S. continues to improve. Since the beginning of 2017, I visited China, Africa, Latin America, and Southeast Asia. All are stronger than last year. With orders growth of 10%, we see an attractive environment for GE overall. EPS was $0.21 for the quarter. Excluding the impact of uncovered restructuring, industrial EPS was up 15%, and verticals grew by 20%. Organic revenue was up 7%, our strongest quarter in more than 2 years. Segment operating profit grew by 15% organically, and total industrial profit was up 20%. Margins are expanding, and our cost-out programs are accelerating. Our cash performance was worse than we expected to start the year, with CFOA of $400 million and negative industrial CFOA. We had several one-timers and grew working capital in the first quarter, which we expect to turn around in the second quarter and be on plan for the year. We executed on our portfolio goals. The water sale exceeded our expectations and should produce a $2 billion gain and $2 billion of cash. GE Capital has exited PRA supervision, completing its pivot. This is an incredible accomplishment for the team. 2 years after we announced our GE Capital strategy, our actions are largely complete. Baker Hughes is on track for a mid-year close. We're off to a strong start and are reconfirming our framework for the year. We're exceeding our goals for organic growth and margins. We expect to hit our goal for $1 billion of structural cost out, and our plan is to be on track for cash and capital allocation for the year. Orders were very strong in the quarter, up 10%, which was 7% organically. Backlog grew by $3 billion. Equipment had a great quarter with growth of 11%. Services were strong as well, with growth of 8%. Pricing was about flat. Orders growth was broad-based. We saw expansion in 6 of 7 segments and 9 of 12 regions. Let me give you a few order highlights that were particularly significant. Power equipment was up 25%. Growth markets were up 27%. Aviation spares grew by 25%. Healthcare equipment was up 10%. Life sciences grew by 15%. Renewable service doubled. LED orders grew by 42%. We were encouraged that oil and gas orders grew by 9%. Global orders grew by 20% behind some very specific initiatives. Orders grew by double digits in 6 of 7 businesses. Highlights include a big Kazakhstan rail deal, aviation LEAP orders of $250 million, power wins in India worth $370 million, global onshore wind deals worth $270 million, healthcare in China grew by 28%, and mining grew by 16%. Digital orders grew by 7%, including 70% growth in ServiceMax, 60% in power, 55% in renewables, and 41% in oil and gas. We continue to reposition our legacy IT businesses for growth in the future. We signed big global deals at NEC, Bridgestone, South32, and Deutsche Bahn. We established an alliance with China Telecom to bring Predix to China. We expect strong orders to accelerate through the year. This start reinforces our organic growth goal of 3-5% for 2017. Organic revenue growth of 7% was ahead of expectations. Revenue strength was broad-based, with 6 of 7 segments having positive organic growth. The old power businesses, what you see as power and renewables, was exceptionally strong, with both growing 18%, and aviation grew by 8%. Our growth initiatives are paying off. Globalization is a major driver, with growth market revenue expanding by 10%, where India was up 27%, Middle East up 12%, and Africa up 77%. Services growth was up 8%, and 6 of 7 businesses expanded in the quarter. This was led by aviation up 18%, and repowering drove 84% growth in renewables. New products also added to growth. We finished the quarter with 30 H turbines in backlog and 12,200 LEAP engine orders and commitments. Healthcare imaging orders in the U.S. grew by 13% behind excellent new products. Digital revenue grew by 16%, led by power, oil and gas, and renewables. The digital growth outside verticals doubled in the quarter. GE Store continues to work. GE Capital supported $2.2 billion of industrial orders, and GE to GE orders grew substantially. Margins were also a good story. Industrial operating profit margins grew by 130 basis points, with gross margins expanding by 90 basis points. Segment margins grew by 110 basis points. Efficiency was driven by value gap, productivity, and digital thread. This more than offset headwinds and mix. Corporate costs are ahead of plan, and we saw margin growth in both equipment and services. We're on track to reduce structural costs by $1 billion for the year. In the quarter, costs were down $76 million and $200 million lower than our original $500 million cost-out plan. We expect this to accelerate during the year. We invested $1 billion restructuring in the quarter, and for the year, we expect gains in restructuring to offset. We remain committed for $1 billion of cost out in 17 and $1 billion of cost out in 18. On cash, we had CFOA of $400 million. This included a dividend from GE Capital of $2 billion. Industrial CFOA was a negative $1.6 billion. There's no change to our 2017 framework of total CFOA of $18 to $21 billion and industrial CFOA of $12 to $14 billion. We built working capital in the quarter to support growth, and we're adjusting to a different profile with Alstom, and we're impacted by several one-timers. Cash is lumpy, and we expect to have a strong second quarter. I've asked Jeff to give you a little bit more context on cash flow on the next page. We received an additional $2 billion dividend from GE Capital in April, bringing the year-to-date total to $4 billion against the plan of $6 to $7 billion for the year, so a good start. Cash into the quarter at $7.9 billion. We paid $2.1 billion of dividends and had $2.3 billion of buyback for a total of $4.4 billion return to shareholders. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff to give you more details on cash and operations.
Thanks, Jeff. As Jeff said, we had a strong quarter on orders, revenues, and margins. However, our industrial CFOA was a $1.6 billion usage of cash, about $1 billion below our expectations. We expect to see most of this come back over the remainder of the year, and we see no change for our outlook for the year of $12 to $14 billion of industrial CFOA. Walking the left side of the page, industrial net income plus depreciation in the quarter was $1.5 billion. Working capital was a use of $1.3 billion. This is about $700 million higher usage than our expectation. The miss was mainly driven by power and renewables, partially offset by better performance in our healthcare business. Receivables was a benefit of $200 million. About $400 million less than our plan. Operationally, we've seen improvement in collections. However, we didn't collect on a number of accounts in the quarter that we expected to. In aviation, which historically has not had issues with past dues, we missed by about $200 million on 5 customer accounts, which will clear in the second quarter, no issue. In power, we didn't collect on several delinquent accounts in tough regions around the world, but we expect to collect these throughout the rest of the year, including in the second quarter. Inventory was a use of $800 million, about $100 million worse than we expected. Most of the businesses were right on the plan. The miss was driven by softness in the U.S. healthcare market, particularly around ultrasound and LCS, but we expect to work off this inventory over the remainder of the year. Payables were a use of $400 million, roughly as we expected. This is driven by payments of fourth quarter purchases that were significantly higher than the new volume added in the first quarter. And we see this dynamic most every year in the first quarter. Progress collections was a use of $300 million. This was primarily driven by two things. First, it was the impact of renewables from shipping equipment in the first quarter following the buildup of progress collections from Safe Harbor wind turbines in the fourth quarter. Secondly, we had several large orders in the quarter that did not reach financial closure. These include large orders in energy connections in Iraq, a power deal in Algeria, and a big transportation transaction in Angola. We expect these deals to close in the second and third quarter. Contract assets were a use of $1.9 billion. This was $300 million worse than expected. Of the $1.9 billion, $500 million was from our long-term equipment contracts, where the timing of our billing and revenue recognition milestones differ. This will catch up throughout the year as we execute against the contracts. The remaining $1.4 billion is our long-term service agreements. There are two pieces to this. $600 million is related to service contracts where we've incurred costs and booked the revenue, but haven't yet billed the customer. We expect this to partly come back over the year as we see higher asset utilization in power and aviation. And we've seen this similar trends in prior years. The other $800 million are contract adjustments driven by better cost performance and part life, primarily driven by power and aviation. Versus expectations, the $300 million of lower cash on contracts assets is driven by $200 million of long-term equipment contracts that we expect to come back throughout the year, and the $100 million is from services contract adjustments I just walked through, which will come back over the remaining life of those contracts as we bill for utilization. In total, we were about $1 billion off our first quarter plan, but we'll recover the vast majority over the second through the fourth quarter. In the first half of 2016, we delivered $400 million of CFOA. For 2017, we expect significantly strong cash performance in the second quarter, with sequential improvement throughout the year. Our total year plan is $12 to $14 billion. That's driven by an increase in net income plus depreciation. We expect to see a benefit from working capital that is similar to last year's benefit. Contract assets will be similar impact as 2016, and other cash flows will be lower cash uses this year, largely driven by the absence of the one-time LTIP payment in 2016. So with that, I'll move on to consolidated results. Revenues were $27.7 billion, down 1% in the quarter. Industrial revenues were flat at $25 billion. As you can see on the right side of the page, the industrial segments were up 1% on a reported basis. Organically, industrial segment revenue was up 7%, or affected by the appliance disposition. Industrial operating plus vertical EPS was 21 cents, flat with prior year. Excluding gains in restructuring, which was a 3-cent headwind versus the first quarter of last year, industrial operating verticals EPS was up 12%. Operating EPS was 14 cents in the quarter, up from 6 cents in the first quarter of last year. This incorporates other continuing GE capital activity, including excess debt headquarter runoff costs that I'll cover separately on the capital page. Continuing EPS of 10 cents includes the impact of non-operating pension, and net EPS of 7 cents includes discontinued operations. The total disc ops impact was a negative 3 cents in the quarter, driven by GE capital exits that we executed in the quarter. The GE tax rate was 15%, in line with our total year mid-teens guidance. The GE capital tax rate was favorable, reflecting a tax benefit on a pre-tax continuing loss. On the right side are the segment results. As I mentioned, industrial segment revenues were up 1% on a reported basis and up 7% organically. Six of the seven businesses were positive organically, with power and renewables up double digits. Industrial segment op profit was up 9%, and industrial op profit, which includes corporate operating costs, was up 11%. On the bottom of the page, as I mentioned earlier, industrial operating plus vertical EPS was 21 cents, up 12%, excluding gains in restructuring, with industrial operating EPS up 15% on the same basis. Included in the 21 cents was 8 cents of uncovered restructuring that I'll go through on the next page. So next on industrial other items in the quarter. As I said, we had 8 cents of charges related to industrial restructuring and other items that were taken at corporate. Charges were $1 billion on a pre-tax basis, with more than $300 million of awesome synergy investments primarily related to power in Europe. We also made significant investments in corporate, oil and gas, energy connections and lighting, and healthcare in the quarter. Restructuring charges totaled about $800 million, and BD charges were approximately $200 million related to Baker Hughes, the water disposition, the industrial solutions disposition, and the digital acquisitions. There were no gains in the quarter. For the year, we expect about 25 cents of restructuring to offset by 25 cents of gains from water and industrial solutions dispositions. We are targeting a third quarter close for the water transaction and a fourth quarter close for the industrial solutions transaction. For the second quarter, we expect to do about 7 cents of restructuring with no offsetting gains. Next, I'll cover the segments. I'll start with the power business. Power orders of $6.1 billion were up 8%, with equipment higher by 25% and services flat. Equipment growth of 25% was driven by gas power systems up 12% and steam power systems up almost 100%. Gas power system was driven by higher aero up 20 units and 10 more HRSGs versus last year. Gas turbine orders were down 13 units, 12 versus 25. We had orders for 2H units, including our first H in China. We have 30H units in backlog and expect to ship 23Hs in 2017. Steam Power Systems recorded orders totaling $591 million, up almost 100%, primarily driven by two projects for which the business will provide coal-fired turbine islands. These orders were taken by an existing JV within Alstom, which we took majority control of in the quarter. Service orders were flat. Total orders for upgrades were up 34%, but the AGPs were down 5 units, 20 versus 25 a year ago. Offsetting upgrade growth was lower transactional services in Europe and the Middle East and lower new unit installation volume. Revenues of $6.1 billion were higher by 17%, with equipment revenue growing 59% and services revenue flat. Equipment revenue growth was driven by higher deliveries of gas turbines, HRSGs, and aero units. We shipped 20 gas turbines versus 13 a year ago. In addition, we shipped 24 HRSGs versus 1 and 11 aero units versus 5 compared with last year. 8 shipments were essentially flat at 4 units. Service revenues were flat despite strong upgrade growth, up 26%, including lower AGPs of 21 versus 27. Upgrade growth was offset by lower boiler service volume in North America and fewer major outages in the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. Power earned just under $800 million operating profit, up 39%. Performance was principally driven by cost productivity and equipment volume, offset partly by the mix of equipment versus service. Gas power systems and steam power systems drove most of the improvement in profitability. Power had a good quarter driving both equipment orders and equipment profitability. The business is intensely focused on structural costs and delivering $500 million of cost out for the year. Power had a very strong organic growth quarter on higher aero turbines and higher gas turbine shipments, driving organic growth up 18%. Our view for the year of mid-single-digit organic growth has not changed. Power is on track for 100 to 105 gas turbines in 2017 and expect to deliver the upgrade growth, including 155 to 165 AGPs. No change to the outlook that the business provided in the March investor meeting. On renewables, the business had a solid quarter. Orders of $2.1 billion grew 8%, with onshore wind higher by 4%, and hydro orders up 39%. Onshore wind orders were up on $167 million of repower commitments versus none last year. The strength in repower was partially offset by lower wind turbine orders, down 8%. We took orders for 589 units versus 716 units last year, down 18%. But the megawatts for the units ordered grew by 3%. The lower unit count was driven by the U.S., which was down 61% after a very strong fourth quarter, partially offset by very strong international growth, up almost double. The wind market is very competitive with pressure on price both in the U.S. and globally. Hydro secured a few large equipment orders in Turkey and Nigeria for 8 Francis turbines. Backlog grew 8% year over year to $13.4 billion. Renewables revenue of $2 billion grew 22%, driven by onshore wind up 11% and hydro up 2 times. Onshore wind growth was largely driven by repowering deliveries. Wind turbine shipments were down 15%, 567 turbines versus 668 a year ago. However, the megawatts that we shipped were essentially flat on the larger turbines. Operating profit grew 29% in the quarter, driven by cost-out actions on the 2-megawatt NPI, positive value gap, and repowering volume, partially offset by higher NPI spend on the new 3-megawatt turbine. Margins expanded 20 basis points in the quarter. The business made good progress on the 2.x megawatt NPI unit cost, but will require additional cost actions given the competitiveness in the market. They are earlier in the learning curve and on the cost-out processes on the 3-megawatt NPIs. We closed the LM acquisition this week, and the vertical integration will enhance the business ability to drive cost, performance, and growth. In aviation, before I discuss the first quarter results for the business, I want to make you aware of a change we've made to how we report our aviation spares rate. Historically, we provided an all-in spares rate that included external shipments of spares, spares used in time and material shop visits, and spares consumed in shop visits for our engines under long-term service agreements. Going forward, our spares rate will only include externally shipped spares and spares used in time and material shop visits. Over the past several years, the strong growth in our long-term services agreements and the associated shop visits has driven the percentage of spares used in LTSAs to be a much greater proportion of the historical order and sales rate. These spares are also part of the LTSA billing and are already accounted for in revenues. We believe the new spares rate provides investors with more visibility to transactional market dynamics. Consumption of spares and long-term service agreements can be impacted by customer fleet management, optimization of shop visits over the life of the contract, or for various other reasons. Starting with the first quarter of 17, we will report only a ship rate for spares on this new basis, as the orders and shipments are virtually the same. This change does not impact any reported financial information. Historical information for spares rate on the new basis, as well as the old method, are included in the supplemental presentation material. Moving to aviation's first quarter performance, the business continues to execute well in a strong market. Global revenue passenger kilometers grew 7% year-to-date February, with strength in both domestic and international routes. Air freight volumes increased 7.2% through February. Orders in the quarter were $7.4 billion, with equipment up 5%. Commercial engine orders were up 3% on higher LEAP and Gen X, partially offset by lower GE90 and CF6 orders. $1.7 billion of new commercial engine orders included $932 million for LEAP, $206 million for CF34, $138 million for GE90, and $166 million of Gen X orders. CFM orders were also up 13% to $186 million. Military equipment orders of $169 million were down 46%, driven by no repeat of a large Black Hawk T-700 Army order from last year. Service orders grew 17%. Commercial service orders were higher by 18%, with CSA growth of 20%, and the spares ADOR of $21.7 million a day was up 25% on the new basis. Military service orders were up 40% at $610 million on increased spare parts. Backlog finished the quarter at $158 billion, up 3%. The equipment backlog of $33 billion, down 5%, and service backlog of $125 billion, ended up 5%. Revenues grew 9% in the quarter to $6.8 billion. Equipment revenues were down 2%, driven by military down 47% on lower shipments, partially offset by commercial growth of 12%. Commercial engine deliveries were down 7%. However, revenue was up, driven by increased mix to higher-value Gen X and LEAP engines. Service revenues were up 17%, driven by commercial spares rate of $21.7 million a day, up 25%. Again, the same as the order rate. Our profit in the quarter totaled $1.7 billion, up 10%, primarily driven by favorable price, volume, and cost productivity, partly offset by the negative impact of 81 LEAP shipments versus zero last year. Margins expanded 50 basis points in the quarter. Demand for the LEAP engine continues to be strong, with over $900 million of orders booked in the quarter. The reliability and performance to spec of the 41 aircraft flying with LEAP today has been excellent. The business is generating strong productivity to offset the negative mix impact of LEAP, and is on track to report 2017 margin rates above flat with last year on continuing cost improvements. We will continue to ramp production to an expected 450 to 500 LEAP shipments for the year. The oil and gas environment has been improving, led by increased activity in the North American onshore market. Rig count was up 70% versus prior year and up 25% from the fourth quarter of last year, and has increased sequentially each of the last three quarters. External forecasts continue to be slightly more positive on 2017 upstream spending, particularly among independents. The timing of recovery will vary by segment, and a large degree of uncertainty remains. Crude inventory remain at five-year highs, and markets are closely watching OPEC output compliance. Offshore activity remains weak. Before I get into the dynamics of the quarter, just one item regarding oil and gas subsegment reporting. We combine the turbo machinery and downstream technology businesses, so I'll talk to the performance of those businesses on a combined basis. Orders for oil and gas of $2.6 billion were higher by 7%, with equipment orders growing 30%. Every segment saw higher equipment orders. Turbo machinery and downstream grew 33%, surface up 10%, and subsea up 52%. The equipment orders performance is a positive sign, but growth is off a very low base. Service orders were down 2%, but flat organically. Turbo machinery and downstream was down 2%. Digital solutions was down 3%. Surface down 8%, and subsea down 18%. Backlog ended the quarter at $20.4 billion, down 10% versus last year. Equipment backlog was down 32%. But service backlog actually grew 4%. Revenues in the quarter of $3 billion were down 9%. Equipment revenues were down 20%, driven by subsea down 29%, turbo machinery downstream down 19%, and surface down 2%. Service revenues were flat, with turbo machinery downstream up 13% and digital solutions up 1%, offset by subsea down 36% and surface down 14%. Operating profit of $207 million was lower by 33%, primarily driven by lower price and volume, partially offset by cost out. The first half of 17 remains very challenging for the business. Despite positive equipment orders performance this quarter, our longer cycle equipment businesses in turbo machinery downstream and subsea will lag the recovery on onshore. The team is focused on capturing growth opportunities and rebuilding its backlog. We continue to expect increased activity in our surface, digital solutions, and transactional service businesses as we move into the second half of the year. The Baker Hughes deal remains on track to close mid-year. We filed the draft S-4 with the SEC and continue to work with global regulators. Both the GE Oil and Gas and Baker Hughes team integration teams are making great progress toward the closing. Next up is healthcare. Our healthcare business had a solid quarter. Orders grew 7% versus last year, and we're up 8% on an organic basis. Geographically, organic orders grew 2% in the U.S., 5% in Europe, and 21% in emerging markets. Emerging market growth was led by China up 28%, the Middle East up 16%, and Latin America up 14%. On a product line basis, healthcare systems orders grew 5%, 6% organically, driven by growth in ultrasound up 10% and imaging products up 12%, with broad-based growth in MR and CT, as well as MAMO, on successful NPI launches. Growth in HCS and ultrasound was partly offset by Life Care Solutions, which was down 8%, primarily driven by the U.S. general market uncertainty around reform. Life Science grew orders 15%, led by Bioprocess up 25%, and Core Imaging up 8%. Bioprocess growth was driven by an order for our QBO product in the quarter. Revenues in the quarter grew 3%, both on a reported and organic basis. Healthcare systems revenues were higher by 3% versus last year, and life sciences revenue grew by 5%. Operating profit of $643 million was up 2% reported, but higher by 6% organically, driven by volume and productivity, partially offset by negative price and program investments. FX was a $32 million profit drag in the quarter. Margins contracted 10 basis points on a reported basis, but were up 50 basis points excluding the effect of foreign exchange. The business continues to execute well on new product introductions and driving cost productivity. Healthcare is targeting further product cost out in line with the 2016 performance they delivered. They are focused on driving more competitiveness in sourcing, increasing the number of brilliant factories, and have over 300 cost-out engineers dedicated to product competitiveness. Despite some uncertainty in the shorter cycle, lower ticket segment of the U.S. market around reforms, we believe the broader healthcare market supports our view of low to mid-single-digit organic revenue growth for the year. Next is transportation. Domestic market dynamics were slightly more positive, building on the modest improvement we saw in the fourth quarter. North American carload volume was up 4.4% in the quarter, driven by 2.2% growth in the intermodal carload space and 6.6% growth in commodity carloads. Commodity carload growth was primarily driven by coal, which was up 15%, and agriculture higher by 4%. Petroleum continued its weakness, down 6%. In addition, GE park locos were down 24% from last year and down 11% from year-end. Although these signs of improvement are important, they are off a weak base and as of yet have not signaled a consistent trend. Transportation orders for the quarter totaled $1.1 billion, up 70%. Equipment orders of $526 million were higher by 500%. We received orders for 37 locos and over 100 international kits, versus no orders in the first quarter of last year. The 37 loco orders included 24 locos for North America. This is the first North American Tier 4 Class 1 order we've taken since 2014. Mining equipment orders were also higher. We received orders for 115 mining wheels versus 84 last year. Service orders of $582 million were up 3%. Backlog finished at $20 billion, down 5% versus last year, driven by equipment down 27%, partly offset by services up 4%. Revenues in the quarter were higher by 6%, with equipment up 15% and services down 1%. Locomotive deliveries were about flat year over year at 157, with a higher mix of international locos. North American locomotives were down 33%, while international locomotive shipments grew 159%, driven by deliveries in Pakistan and South Africa. Our profit of $156 million was down 5% on unfavorable mix and higher digital investment, partially offset by cost productivity. No change to the outlook we shared with you in December. 2017 will be a challenging year, with locomotive shipments likely down close to 50%, operating profit down double digits, and pressure on margin rates. The business continues to drive structural cost out, as well as building their international backlog. Next, on Energy Connections and Lighting, orders for the segment totaled $2.6 billion, which were down 2%. Energy Connection orders of $2.4 billion were down 12%, driven by power conversion down 36% and grid down 8%, partially offset by Industrial Solutions, which grew 11% in the quarter. Power conversion performance was driven by continued pressure in oil and gas and no repeat of a large inverter order in the first quarter of last year. Grid's first quarter performance was impacted by orders delays in the Middle East that will close in the second quarter, specifically a large order in Iraq. Industrial Solutions, which was up 11%, outperformed versus the NEMA market, which was up an estimated 3% in the quarter. Our current platform had orders in the quarter totaling $243 million. Revenues for Energy Connections grew 1% reported and 4% organically. Grid grew 19%, partly offset by Industrial Solutions down 2% and Power Conversion down 26% organically. Current and Lighting revenues were down 11%, with Current growing 3% and the legacy business increasing by 22% as we exit markets and experience lower demand for older technology. Operating profit in the quarter of $28 million was substantially higher versus last year, driven by structural cost actions. Energy Connections earned $20 million and Current and Lighting earned $8 million. No change in the 2017 outlook. We expect better execution from these businesses with double-digit profit growth for the year. We expect the divestiture of Industrial Solutions to happen late in the year. Finally, I'll cover GE Capital. The verticals earned $535 million in the quarter, up 8% from the prior year, driven principally by lower impairments, higher tax benefits, partially offset by lower gains. GCAS, Energy Finance, and Industrial Finance all had strong quarters, and overall portfolio quality remained stable. In the first quarter, the verticals funded $1.8 billion of on-book volume and enabled $2.2 billion of industrial orders. Other continuing operations generated a $582 million loss in the quarter, driven by excess interest expense, restructuring costs related to portfolio transformation, and headquarters operating costs. As I've said in the past, these costs will continue to come down as excess debt matures and we right-size the organization. Versus the first quarter of last year, other continuing costs are down $800 million, driven by these lower excess debt costs, non-repeat of costs associated with both the first quarter of 16 hybrid tender offer and the preferred equity exchange. In addition, we expect incremental tax benefits associated with the completion of the GE Capital restructuring towards the second half of the year. Discontinued operations generated a $242 million loss, driven by exit plan-related items and operating costs. Overall, GE Capital reported a net loss of $290 million. We ended the quarter with $167 billion of assets, including $43 billion of liquidity. Assets were down $16 billion from year-end. GE Capital closed on $7 billion of transactions in the quarter, including the sale of our French consumer finance platform and our Hyundai JV. In total, $198 billion has been actioned since April of 2015, $263 billion, including the spinoff of Synchrony. All major sales activity related to GE Capital exit plan is now complete. $8 billion of assets remaining will largely be run off over the next 12 to 18 months. As a result of this, as of March 30th, GE Capital's non-U.S. activities are no longer subject to consolidated supervision by the UK's PRA. GE Capital paid $2 billion of dividends during the quarter and an additional $2 billion this week. We remain on track for $6 to $7 billion of dividends for the total year. Overall, the GE Capital team delivered a strong performance from the verticals while executing on all aspects of our exit plan. With that, I'll turn it back to Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. We are reconfirming our 2017 operating framework. We should meet all of our goals for operating EPS. We're off to a good start on organic growth and margins. The goals for industrial operating profit and structural cost out are in sight. Despite a slow start, we plan to hit $12 to $14 billion of industrial CFOA for the year. We believe that capital dividend should be $6 to $7 billion for the year. Dispositions are on track. We're on track to return $19 to $21 billion to investors through dividend and buyback. So to recap, we had 10% orders growth, 7% organic growth, 130 basis points of margin expansion, and 20% organic industrial operating profit growth, and a commitment to hit CFOA for the year. So this is a good start. Matt, now for some questions.
Thanks, Jeff. With that, let's open it up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press the pound sign or the hash key. We ask that you please limit yourself to one question. The first question is from Scott Davis with Barclays.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Scott.
I want to talk about the cadence of the cost out. I get to like a $230 million number in 1Q. I think that's what you said. You know, I would assume if you did that every quarter, you get to your $2 billion pretty, you know, on a kind of steady cadence. But Jeff Bornstein, you commented that that would ramp a little bit faster through the year. So how do you think about that $2 billion? Is that something that comes out, you know, steady over 2 years, or is that something where you can front end load, you know, a fair amount of it? And just on that, if you can give a little bit of color on how much of that cost out is really from last year's restructuring versus new cost initiatives.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is structural costs or base costs, so fixed costs. It excludes variable costs.
Yep.
We talked about $2 billion of cost out, $1 billion each in 17 and 18. So the goal this year is to take $1 billion of that base cost down. If you go to the supplement, we do a walk for you in the first quarter. So in the first quarter, those costs year over year were down about $75 million. Now, beneath that, we took out over $375 million of those costs, and that was partly offset by a couple hundred million more, as we expected, higher digital spend year over year, and then just wage inflation of about $80 million. So good underlying performance there. It's going to accelerate over the year because we've taken an enormous number of actions here in the first quarter across all of the businesses in corporate. You know, we talked about, the effort around horizontal IT, which we think is worth $250 million in the year, what we just announced around the tax corporate tax team, and that transition to PwC. We've taken a number of headcount actions, both at corporate and across the businesses here in the first quarter. So we expect that to grow over the course of the year. The other reference point I'd give you is when we talked at the Outlook meeting, we talked about a goal of $500 million, with which we had a $1.7 billion kind of pipeline against. Against that original plan, the first quarter, we were 200 better than that original plan. So that gives us confidence that we're on track for the higher plan of $1 billion for the year. So I think you'll continue to see better performance here in the second quarter, and then I think you'll see a real acceleration in the second half of the year. To answer your question on restructuring from prior years, so within this bucket of costs, I said we took out $375 million before digital and the effect of EOP, effect on wages. About $174 million of that $375 was from prior year restructuring actions.
But I would say, Scott,
okay,
having a good 130 basis points of margin with a lot of the structural costs still to kick in makes us feel good on the 100 basis point goal for the year on margins.
Right. And I know you're focused on the base fixed cost. On the variable cost, how does that play into the next several quarters?
So, you know, as we talked about, well, let's go back to what we said at Outlook. At Outlook, we talked about a goal of 100 basis points of margin improvement. And we said 50 of that was going to come from everything we were doing around restructuring, et cetera, and then the incremental cost plan was going to deliver the next 50 basis points. If you look at gross margins in the quarter, we were better by 90 basis points. So gross margins is all product and service cost. So that's a good down payment against, you know, delivering the total year margin.
And I would say again on
okay.
gross margin, Scott, you know, we've built in kind of a negative mix vis-a-vis the LEAP and things like that, and we still can more than offset that with other strong programs we've got in the company.
The next question is from Jeffrey Sprague with Vertical Research Partners.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, could we just explore a little more what's going on in Alstom? There was a comment about you're taking a different profile there. It was unclear what you meant by that. And it also sounds like one of the JVs got consolidated in the quarter.
Yeah, expand on your first question. I'm not sure I answered your first question, Jeff. Okay. So let me just talk about the JV, and then I'll let Jeff talk about the first part of your question. As when we did the Alstom acquisition, as part of that, we acquired an interest in a JV in the steam space in India, and we were a minority shareholder. So we spent a little bit of an insignificant amount of money to actually gain control of that JV in India. So in the steam space, it's around steam equipment. It largely services India.
And then, Jeff, the comment I made is the profile of Alstom was always very highly skewed towards their last quarter. It's going to take a while to get that normalized on the you know, kind of the GE time frame, just based on some of the EPC work and project work they do. So that was the comment that I made.
Yeah, I don't think that the profile is materially different than our own business. You know, we have a lot of long-term contracts, 81-1 contracts that you know about. We're really building against those here in the first quarter. Those will hit billing milestones over the course of the year. And like our own equipment businesses, the Alstom equipment businesses will improve on cash performance throughout the year.
The next question is from Andrew Kaplowitz with Citi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So obviously order growth inflected pretty positively in the quarter, and we know you have your management incentives in line toward delivering significant cash flow. So why isn't cash better? Why not maybe even sacrifice some orders from difficult customers if you have to for better cash, or maybe press your suppliers even harder to generate more cash? I guess the question we're trying to figure out is whether the issues are transient and cyclical, which we think they are, or you know, some people think they're structural, especially in power. How would you answer that question?
Well, when you look at the first quarter performance, you know, we talked about being $1 billion lower than our expectations, $700 million of that in working capital. And within that $700 million, $400 million really related to receivables. Our receivables performance actually was pretty good in the quarter. Our collection effectiveness was better year over year. We did factor $1.3 billion less versus the first quarter of last year, but we expected to do that. It was really around the accounts I talked about. In aviation, we had a couple hundred million of past dues that we don't normally experience in aviation. Those are already clearing here in the second quarter. And then some big past dues in the Middle East and in our power business that are on schedule. We will collect the majority of what we expect to collect in the first quarter. We'll do that in the second quarter. Then we had a small kind of $100 million kind of miss in inventory versus our own expectations. Interestingly, across most of the businesses hit their inventory expectation. And our inventory performance year over year was $700 million better than the first quarter of last year. That's important because when we think about our working capital, we've talked about $3 billion plus of working capital improvement in a year to get to $12 to $14 billion. A big part of that is driven by inventory. Last year, we were really helped by progress in AP. This year, it's about receivables and inventory. And so getting off to a $700 million better outcome year over year on inventory is good, but it was 100 less than we thought it would be. And that was all about healthcare in North America, and that will liquidate. That's mostly timing around sales and orders. So we're not too concerned about that. And then progress was a couple hundred million light versus what we expected. It was a $300 million use in the quarter. A big part of what drove that was we took enormous amounts of progress in the fourth quarter of last year in renewables around U.S. onshore wind and people getting ahead of the PTC. We're now shipping against that progress, so we're liquidating the progress. We collected the cash fourth quarter. Now we're revenue recognition, we're rev-recking and shipping those units, and the majority of that cash was collected last year. Having said that, we have some really big orders, particularly in the Middle East, that we thought we were going to get to financial close in the first quarter. It looks like most of those will get to financial close in the second quarter. I talked about earlier the big grid order in Iraq. I think we feel really good about that. I think next week we're likely going to announce, which was part of this progress, the biggest service deal in the history of our power services business in the Middle East, a really phenomenal transaction. We thought it was going to close a couple of weeks earlier. It's going to close next week, we believe, so we feel good about that. And then some progress we expected to collect out of West Africa, which will happen in the second quarter. So we were $1 billion off in those buckets versus what we expected. I think we feel good about how we move from where we are today to the $12 to $14 billion we talked about for the year. So if you just go back, I'm just trying to give you a framework on how to think about it. Listen, we committed to $17.2 billion of pre-tax operating profit. So using that as a baseline, from here, we see $12 billion plus of net income plus depreciation between the second and fourth quarter. We expect to generate about $4.5 billion roughly of working capital improvements 2Q through 4Q. That's about on par with what we did in 2016. It's within $100 to $200 million of what we actually did execute in 2016. Again, inventory, a big piece of that. We expect contract assets to be a drag here in the next three quarters of about $2 billion. For the total year, that would put us at about $3.9 billion. That is equivalent to what contract assets did in 2016. So at the moment, we're not planning anything better or worse. And then in other operating cash, which we gave you a lot more disclosure in the K, we see that as a positive for the year. Largely because we had the long-term incentive plan payout last year. We won't have that this year. And that's how we get to a framework of $12 to $14 billion. We're also looking for some of that big base cost structure we're taking out to fall through to cash as well. So we're taking $1 billion of cash. That should be virtually all cash as well. It'll show up in the net income plus depreciation line. So that's a little bit of a cash edge here on execution for the year.
The next question is from Steve Tusa with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for squeezing me in here.
Yeah, good.
I'm doing okay. So, when you look at the non-cash earnings from contract assets, how is that reported in the margin bridge? And then on the restructuring, with the $800 million of restructuring and other, is there anything in there that's, you know, not, you know, pure payback kind of headcount restructuring? And if so, you know, what's the volume of that? I think you had a disclosure in your 10-K around that, around the breakout of restructuring. Thanks.
Well, no, Steve, the $800 million of restructuring in the quarter is just that. It's just, it's restructuring. So it's, they're projects with paybacks. So they are very much structure. When I say structure, I mean headcount and site capacity related, you know. So I'll give you some detail around it. $800 million of restructuring, about $500 million of that is really related to workforce capacity, okay? Five of the $800. We've got about $300 million, roughly, that's associated with plant capacity, consolidating footprint, et cetera. And then on the balance to get to a billion-dollar charge in the quarter is $200 million of BD, and that's really all Baker Hughes Water, Industrial Systems, and some of the digital acquisitions we closed in the quarter. So to answer your question, $800 million is all investment with payback. Ask your first part of your question again. Okay.
It's on the contracts.
So yeah, so contracts in the quarter are so on the CSA contracts, which is, I think, what you're talking about. CSA contracts in the quarter were up $1.4 billion year-over-year. $800 million of that increase was associated with contract updates, okay? And that's versus $500 million a year ago. So it's higher by $266 million year-over-year. Of the about $300 million, it's up year-over-year, a little more than half of that's in power, and most of that is associated with updates of part costs when we change standards every year. So for the contracts that were under review in the first quarter, if we change the standard on the part cost to deliver against that contract in the future, we did that update. And then, you know, there's a small update for escalation that's mostly around our aviation business. We update once a year on escalation within the service contracts. The that part of long-term contracts that are revenues versus billing, so outside of contract updates, was $600 million in the first quarter. And that's really where we've incurred shop visits, outages, we've incurred costs against those service contracts ahead of actually billing the hours or the events associated with it. So that's mostly timing, and some of that will come back over the course of the year as we actually bill against the utilization, or bill against an outage or a shop visit. So I would say that's mostly timing. That's the $1.4 billion increase that you see in contracts year-over-year.
The next question is from Julian Mitchell with Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, Julian, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Just wanted a quick question on the back to the cash flow. So Jeff Bornstein, I think you'd called out that $400 million of industrial CFOA in the first half of last year. Was the implication that we should assume, you know, the first half of this year is around the same level? And then also my follow-up would just be on the contract assets piece. You know, you've had outflows last year of about $4 billion in cash. It's about $4 billion out this year. Before that, in 2014 and 2015, it was more like $1.5 billion-$2 billion per year. So I just wondered, with GE today, as you look out beyond this year, what's the normalized contract assets cash outflows we should expect annually?
So, let me take part two first. So yeah, we expect the contract drag on cash flow for the year to be roughly the same, 16 versus 17, as you said, at about $3.9 billion. I think you got a number of phenomena going on. We're investing like crazy in productivity and cost out, whether that's additive, value engineering, driving these plant closures, restructuring, all this finds its way into lower cost. When we get lower cost, the cost to execute against our contracts improves, and when they improve, you know, the accounting has us account for that, and where it changes our view on the ultimate profitability of these contracts. That's one mechanism, and we're hugely focused on that. And I think you want us focused on that. That's all future cash, future economics, et cetera, on a go-forward basis. We're not pulling future profit forward. That is not what we're doing. We're just restating where we are in the contract from inception to date. The second part is, you know, where the long-term service agreements that protect our install base, you know, our penetration continues to improve. When you look at the attach rate on the H-turbine, on the LEAP engine, the population and our backlog around these contracts is growing substantially and has over the last number of years. And so there's a volume factor associated with it as well. What was the first part?
I think at the half, we expect CFOA to be roughly comparable.
What I would say on the half, we think CFOA is going to be sequentially much better in the second quarter than the first, and we would expect year over year CFOA to be better through the half.
The next question
equal
is from Shannon.
Equal or better through the half.
And the next question is from Shannon O'Callaghan with UBS.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Shannon.
Power equipment orders up 25% in a quarter when, you know, gas turbines were down about 50%. It seems to support this shift you've been talking about from gas turbine sales to power island sales and the expanded scope. You also have pretty easy comps, you know, in Alstom. So I'm just want a little color on the sustainability of that kind of equipment order strength and power despite kind of a weaker gas turbine outlook.
Look, I think, Shannon, you know, we look at the total gas turbine market probably being roughly flat year over year. We do think this increased content is kind of here to stay. So it's our expectation that continues through the year. And then I think at the end of the day, we've got a decent competitive position in steam. We don't have any false expectations about that market, but we will pick up some orders there as well.
I'll just give you a little bit of color. So, you know, I talked about it earlier. We landed two big steam turbine island orders in the quarter, which is hugely positive. We were much stronger on aero units and orders in the quarter. We were up 20 year over year on aero derivatives. And we took 10 more HRSG orders out of Alstom in the quarter than we did a year ago. And as you mentioned, we were down 13 gas turbines. So a little broader strength than just about gas turbines.
The next question is from Andrew Obin with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Good morning.
Andrew.
Just a question in terms of progression of organic growth through the year. How much of first quarter growth was pulled from the fourth quarter 16 shortfall, and were there any orders or revenues pulled from the second quarter and the rest of the year?
I certainly there's going to be some spillover from Q4 into Q1. You know, I still think 3-5% is the right way to peg the year. We're encouraged about how the first quarter started. And I would say, Andrew, business outside the U.S. is incrementally better than we had expected, I think, when we lined up the year. So I think there's some macro drivers that are also important in terms of our ability to capitalize on the year. And then I think 10% orders growth is a nice bellwether for investors to reinforce, I think, what our guidance is for 2017.
The only thing I'd add to that, Andrew, is, you know, at year-end we talked about power, that we had some short shippers we expected, gas turbines, both arrows and units. We expect, as we said on the call, we expect those to close here in 2017. We think those are good projects. Those did not close in the first quarter. So to answer your question, the orders performance you saw in the first quarter, particularly around power that we talked about from year end, those units are not in the first quarter.
That was our final question. I'll turn it back to you, Matt, for any closing remarks.
Thank you. The replay of today's call will be available this afternoon on our investor website. We'll remind you that next Wednesday we'll be holding our annual shareholder meeting in Asheville, North Carolina. And, Jeff, you're going to speak at EPG conference on May 20th. With that, Jeff.
Great, Matt. So, again, I would just spike out, I think we're very encouraged by first quarter performance. 10% orders growth, 7% organic, 130 basis points of margin. I think a solid cash profile for the year. So I think, Matt, off to a great start. I think very encouraged about 2017.
Great. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.